fierce despisers of those that are good. We see that every day in our lives, in our homes, in the church. People don't like people that do good. They like people that's just a little bit shady like them. But if you're all good, they call you goody two-shoes. And that means we don't quite like you. We don't quite like you because you're a little too good. I don't believe nobody's that good, they'll say. You know, people today will stand on the side of those that are evil. You know, that are evil, that don't do good. You know, people that are wrong, you know, before they'll follow somebody that's good. And saints, that's just not right. God is looking at this. God sees what we do. And he knows everything that we do. As God's church, we must learn to discern the times. We must not take sides with the world. Our place is to stay firmly planted, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We serve God, not the world, and not the devil. Let's really be the church. Don't walk away from God. Let's walk toward God. And we will make it to the promised land. We'll make it to heaven. Heaven will be our home. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Thessalonians 5:18, you have it?
Yes.
We begin reading now.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual maturity. We're talking about having spiritual thanksgiving, or being able to spiritually thank God beyond just the known blessings of God. Do you know every day God releases benefits and blessings into our lives, of which all of them are not physical or tangible or even visible? Many of the blessings of the Lord are invisible, intangible. We don't see them. We don't many times feel them, but they are there. And it's not sometimes until those blessings are taken away that we realize what a blessing it was. In other words, have you ever seen the commercial where a little goldfish was taken out of the water and he was just flapping and flapping, trying to get breath to breathe, because he excuse me, was out of water, and which brings back those said, you never miss your water till you. Either you well run dry or they take you out the water. Either one, it doesn't matter, but the water is not there. And the blessed, when the blessed is not there, many times you don't recognize it until it is not there. That's because we take so many of God's blessings for granted. Every day, when he wakes us up, he didn't have to do it. And then when he wakes us up and give us health and strength, he didn't have to do that. And then when he woke us up and gave us health and strength, he didn't have to leave us in our right mind. And I can keep on going down a litany of things that God does every day that we take for granted. And we don't give him thanks for those things. But when we ask him for something, and he delivers it to us, then we may say thank you, or we may give some kind of appreciation for his goodness. But listen, God has all power, can do all things, and desires to bless us with the best blessings as believers that he has. We've got to understand, if we can't be grateful for the little things, then we are not going to be grateful for the real big things. God makes clear in his word, if you're not faithful over the little, over the few, then you are not going to be grateful over much. You don't need to tell God something he already knows. God knows if you're not being a blessing to others right now, if you get more, it don't mean you're gonna bless more folk. It just means you're gonna be more selfish.
All right, doctor.
Because listen, you could have one biscuit and you know somebody else is hungry, you'll share a piece of that biscuit, because when you are a giver, when you are a sharer, you will recognize that one piece of that biscuit is better than none of that biscuit.
All right, doctor.
And so when you learn to give of the little that you have, God provides more for you to do more with and to have. That's all his word. But let me get back to where I'm going. In everything, give thanks.
Yes, Lord.
Now be careful not to misunderstand that the word didn't say, for everything, give thanks. But rather, in everything, give thanks. What was Paul trying to say to the Christians at Thessalonica who had gone through much? He had just got through talking about, you know, being a blessing to those who do the work of God for the very work's sake. Even if you don't want to honor them for the work they do. And he was going through telling them a whole lot of things, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. It just went on a litany of things he's telling. But when he gets to this part, it's for, again, all of us to recognize that praise and thanksgiving is always in order as it relates to God. To God. Now, that doesn't mean we praise him just when things are good. That doesn't mean we praise him when we're happy or he has answered our prayer, when we give him thanks. It doesn't just mean that when things are going our way, we come and we shout all over the place because we are rejoicing over the goodness of God. God is good all the time. So if he is good all the time, when should he receive praise? Times might not be good all the time. Situations might not be good all the time, but God is good all the time. You may be going through some things and they may not be good, but that has nothing to do with the fact that God is worthy of his praise. Let me just walk back through some of the illustrations in the Word. Do you think when Daniel was down in the lion's den that he started complaining to God when it was because he stood up for God in the first place that they threw him in the lion's den? He believed God. He trusted God. He leaned on God. He depended on God. He gave God thanks even in the lion's den. Whether the lions were going to eat him or not, the fact that he had already made up his mind, for God he'll live and for God he'll die. Once you have a conviction like that, it doesn't matter the circumstances that surround you, your God is still worthy. Worthy of your praise, worthy of your honor, worthy of your glory, even when you find yourself in a lion's den. It's God's ability to show you that if you are in the lion's den because of something you said for him, then don't you think he'll show up in the lion's den because of you? He shut the lions' mouths so that they could not eat up Daniel, because Daniel had opened up his mouth for the Lord. What am I saying? I'm trying to tell somebody, when you learn to be grateful and thankful and open your mouth for God, when there is a need for God to show up in your life, he will show up and do what is necessary without you having to feel like you're all by yourself. In everything. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help me preach this morning. They told the king when he said to them, boys, y'all must not have heard the horn sound. Now, you know the rule is everybody bow down to this golden image. And they said, go, king, live forever. But listen, we're not going to bow. We serve the Lord God, and him only will we serve. And listen, it said, our God is well able to deliver us. But if not, we still won't bow. King said, heat the furnace up 7 times hotter. King didn't realize 7 times was God's perfect number. And when they heated up the furnace 7 times hotter, it burned up the king's men, but it didn't burn the king of king's men. And when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, the Lord met them in the place that was meant to destroy them. Yeah. Why? Because God wanted them to know, listen, in everything, give thanks. And the king said, didn't we throw 3 men in the fiery furnace? Lo, look like I see 4. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Now listen. What were they doing in there? They were walking around free, praising God in the fiery furnace. That's another example. When you're in the fiery furnace, it's a good time for a praise party. Wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there he'll be in the midst. He showed up in the midst of their praise party. I'm trying to help somebody to know, in everything doesn't mean just good things, but in difficult things. You praise him because if you know him, and if you know the word, which says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. Scripture was just read in your hearing for your good. God isn't doing it for his. He's doing it for your good. He's doing it because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. And God means you good. in spite of the bad you go through. Come here, Job, help me here. Job didn't do one bad thing wrong. And look at all of the bad that befell Job. And his three supposed good friends talked to him and about him like he was a liar. Like Job was hiding some secret sin. Like he had done some stuff in the dark. And while what he did didn't come to the light, God decided to publicly display his displeasure with Job. And they were like, God is too righteous to punish the righteous for nothing, Job. Are you going through what you're going through for nothing? Job was like, it might not be for nothing, but it ain't something I know about. I don't know of anything I've done wrong to dishonor my God. I don't know of any sin I've committed. And Job lived the kind of life that God bragged about. And here's the thing, that the reason Job was going through, don't miss this, all that he went through was because God was bragging on him. Can I tell you, when God starts bragging to the devil on you, look out trouble, look out problems. When God says, have you considered my son, my daughter, that there's none like them, or that they walk in integrity, they walk in purity, they walk in truth. And the devil's like, well, do they serve you for nothing? Look at how good you are to them. What the devil was implying was that God blessed Job with so much that Job would sell out the moment God removed any of those blessings. That the praise wasn't real, that the trust wasn't real, that the faith in God was not real. And God said, I'm not gonna take anything away from him because I'm not an Indian giver, but I'll let you do it. And then he gave him limitations. And everything the devil did, he found out that Job's faith in God was real. My question to you is, if God brags on you and the devil tests you, will the devil find out that your faith is real in God? Or will he say you were just putting on a show? You were doing what you were doing to be seen. You were doing what you were doing because you wanted God to bless you. And if God ever stopped blessing you, you'll stop doing what you're doing for God. You see, Job was sincere.
Yes, Lord.
And God knew he was sincere.
Yes, Lord.
And in everything Job went through, he gave thanks to God. In the big picture, he had some individual issues with himself. He had some problems with the fact that he couldn't put his finger on what he did to make God turn his back on him and cause him to go through all that he was going through. But he never blamed God foolishly. Now, my brothers and sisters, how many times do we blame God, get mad with God, stop coming to church, stop paying our tithes, stop serving, get out the choir, get off the usher board, get out of this ministry, leave the ministry. Don't go to no other ministry, and then sometimes you do, but then mostly it's because you're mad with God, so he's in every place, so you just stop going because you're mad with him and don't realize if he gets mad with you, takes his air away from you, take the breath in your body away from you, take the heartbeat out of you, take away the blessings he's given to you, you would cease to exist. But his anger endured but for a moment, and in his life is favor. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You got to go through some things now, but I got a helpful holy hint for you. While you're going through, lift your hands up. Give him praise, give him glory. While you're going through, don't wait till you get out of it. Start it while you're already in the fix. You're already in the mess. You're already in the difficulty. You're already having problems. That's a good time for you to throw your hands up and say, God, I'm not thanking you for the problems. I'm thanking you in the problems, because I know you got a way out of the problems. And though I don't see it, and though I don't know when I'm coming out of this thing, what I do know is I'm coming out. And I'm already preparing to lift my hand and my head up, because when I come up and come out of this, I'm going to come out praising you. And so in everything, in whatever you're going through right now, some of you can't praise right now because of what you're going through. Can't get you to open your mouth up and give him praise right now. But let you get what you want, then you're going to be, oh, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. No, God don't want that kind of praise. God wants true praise, sincere praise, real praise. That means praising him when you don't feel like praising him. That means praising him when everything seems to be going in the opposite direction of the way you want him to go. Praise him anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow. And you've got to be a strong Christian to be able to grow to the point where you can say, hallelujah, anyhow. Well, they did this to me. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Well, they cut off my lights. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Well, they did this on my job. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. You've got to have real trust in God. And that's what God wants more than anything, for you to trust him like that. In everything, give thanks. God ought not have to ask you for it. God ought not have to beg you for it. You ought to give it. You ought to voluntarily release it. You ought to do it because he's worthy. See, the problem is we can't praise him for focusing on the problems and the issues. We need to raise our praise to where he is. That's above every problem and situation and circumstance that I'm going through. He's above all of that. And when I get lost in praising him, and then when I look around, you remember when Jesus asked the woman who was caught in adultery, where are her accusers? And she raised up and looked around, and all of them were gone. When you get through praising God, you'll look up, and all your problems, and all your troubles, and all your issues, they'll be, I don't see them, God, because you got your focus on the right one. Not on all of those things, but on him who is able. He can keep you from falling. He can pick you up when you fall. Why? Because he is able. So we give thanks. For this is the will of God. That means God is testing us, trying us to see whether we will obey his will. The next time, do this, and I pray the Holy Spirit pricks your mind, brings us back to your remembrance. The next time you're going through, somebody say, oh, it ain't got to be next time. I'm going through right now, Pastor. So since I'm going through right now, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to give him thanks right now. I'm going to give him thanks while I'm going through. I'm going to give him thanks when I leave the sanctuary as well as in the sanctuary. I'm going to pray. Listen, when you start giving God praise in the midst of the devil's attack on you, the devil begins to wonder what's wrong with you. And he begins to realize what he's doing against you ain't working on you.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is what? In you than he that is where? In the world. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. Whatever you're going through, you need to tell yourself, it's the will of God. Here's what you need to know. You say, well, how could it be God's will that these bad things are happening to me? But I just got through telling you, Romans 8:28 tells you all of that's working together for your good. But here's another thing you need to know. There are some things that happen to us because of choices we've made. And every choice has a consequence tied with it. And so that means God's either permissive will or his perfect will has placed us in this situation. And in either case, can I tell you, it's his will. Somebody didn't get that. I said, in either case, whether it's his permissive will, because he lets you make some decisions and you made the wrong decision, now you got to suffer for what you're going through. But even while you're doing that and you realize you had some wrong decisions, made some wrong decisions, you ought to have sense enough to say, forgive me, Lord. And Lord, while I'm in this mess, I think I'm going to go on and praise you while I have a chance. That's his will. Praise your way out of your problems. Praise your way out of your situation. Praise your, every time David fell, he repented and he remembered to praise God. He realized it's because his praising slacked up that he got in the problems he got in. You can't get in problems praising God. It's when you cease to praise him and you let other things take your focus, and therefore then you miss the reality of God's goodness operating in your life and on your behalf. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus, meaning this, for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, that's not for everybody. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody ain't in Christ. This is only for the believers. So when you're around non-believers going through, and they know you're going through, they will understand how you can give God glory while going through. You give God glory while you're going through, because again, you know you're coming out. They may not know you're coming out, but you know you're coming out. And listen at this. If you lose yourself in praise, your release will be quicker. Paul and Silas, just trying to help you, give you biblical illustrations. In the Roman jail, locked up, but at midnight, the darkest time of night, Paul and Silas started a prayer and praise meeting. And when they started that prayer and praise meeting, the jailhouse began to rock. And God opened up the jail cells, not only to Paul and Silas's cell, but to every cell in the jail.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being